And so that's my prayer, is that you and I are striving to live the crucified life. And so let's read that today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. We want to thank those for watching today. And my prayers are something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get in to God's Word today. And so I have been doing a miracle series since Christmas, since starting of December the 1st. And we're now in the fourth sermon, the miracle series sermon number 4. And the title of my message today is this, The Miracle of the Magi. The Miracle of the Magi. And so we want to look here a little bit as we all are maybe familiar. You may not be, but if you are, we're all kind of familiar with the Christmas story. We want to go to Matthew's Gospel. If you have your Bibles, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. There's a Bible there in the pew there, and it's going to be projected on the screen. But we want to look from God's Word today. Matthew's Gospel, the 2nd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. And we're going to look through here, through this passage, as time will permit. Matthew's Gospel, the 2nd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse here, the miracle of the Magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, "For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, but out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men to determine from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want us to look here closely today because I want you to see the story that takes place with the wise men. And I want you to see here today that Herod the king was not a great king. He was a king that was not a good king, but he was a bad king. And we see through this passage that he says, "Please let me know when you see the child because I want to worship him." But that was a lie. He did not want to worship him. He wanted to try to kill him, because he felt threatened. And in life, there are times that people may feel threatened. They may feel like that something is coming against them, and they will react and respond to a lot of things, and therefore there's consequences, of course, that they pay for. And so we see here clearly, as God began to move, and I've said this in the last couple of weeks, God is a multitask God. He's in a lot of things happening and a lot of things in a lot of different ways. And so what we have to realize that there was a plan, there was a purpose that God had put in place for His Son to come into this world. And I want you to know today, as it went and as it ministered, as He came, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, He was born in a stable, yet we see that Jesus, as a child, was able, as a baby, was able to minister to all ages, to all decree, to all nationalities, to everyone that came around, and from the poor to the rich. And we see that the wise men, they were very wealthy, and they had wealth to bring unto the child. And I want you to know today that these guys, these wise men, worked closely to the king. Because as a magi, they were magicians. They were astrologers. They studied the skies. They heeded to other spiritual things and other things that they worshiped. And yet the king was closely to them. But the Bible says that something caught the wise men's eyes because they saw the star. And they wanted to follow where the star was because it was something they had never seen in their life until now. And so as they were going, they had gifts. And you say, well, Pastor, why did they have gifts? Well, they had gifts because the prophet of old, as they had read that it would come about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, like 800 years before it to happen, said that they would be a child that would be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that He would come into this world. In other words, He would be Emmanuel. He would be God with us. And as they begin to read, as we see the wise men, they said, wait a minute, Herod, we just want to let you know the prophets have already spoken. This is the child that's being born. He will be the ruler. And of course, Herod said, wait a minute, something's going on here. In other words, he felt threatened. So when we see this clearly today, we see that the miracle was of a virgin mother. The miracle where of the manger and of the message and of the messenger, all of this began to unfold that God executed this to take place. We see the miracle was seen of the magi, which were the wise men, which were the magicians. We see they are better known to us as wise men. And why were they called the Magi? Because magicians means those who study stars and advises leaders. And they advised the king, King Herod, in a lot of different things. We see the mystery of the Magi. We see we don't know their names or their numbers, yet we see that there's three gifts caused the view that they were three of those that came. And we see that we're not sure of when they begin their journey or the exact length of it. What we do know about the Magi or the wise men, they came from the east, probably from Babylon, which we know now as Iraq, and they were wealthy. They had gift of gold, they had the frankincense, and they had of myrrh. Now, there's a couple of points today that I want you to catch through this Christmas story. My first point today is this: why did the Magi leave Iraq? Why did they leave Babylon? Probably because they studied the writings of Daniel. Daniel had been taken into captive by Nebuchadnezzar while at youth. And he became greatly respected and rose to power in Babylon. And Daniel had a great prophetic insight and wrote about, listen, wrote about a coming king of the Jews. And Daniel's timeline for important prophecies fulfilled and is revealed in Daniel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. I want to read this. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war of desolations are determined. The scriptures and the star probably started the Magi on their journey when we study the scripture light and begins to break through. My second point today is this. How did the Magi get off track? How did the Magi get off track? Upon arriving in Jerusalem, they went to the palace. This seems like a logical place to find a king. They turned from the star to follow their feelings, and many are today are like the Magi. They started with God, and then they begin to get off track. They follow their feelings instead of following Christ. My question to you today is, do you remember a time when this happened to you? When the Lord may have spoke to you, may have said something to you, maybe you had felt like that you needed to go in a direction that the Lord was telling you, but then you decided to take a detour. You decided to go a different direction, or you decided that you wouldn't do that, that you would just kind of do it the way you want to do it, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, where you want to do it, the whole nine yards. Well, this is what was happening with the wise men. The wise men saw the star and they began to follow, but then they began to get off track because they thought, wait a minute, you know, we know of this child, but wait a minute, let's think about this. So they begin to second guess themselves after they had studied the stars, they had studied what was going on, and yet they begin to drift into another direction. What my third point today is this: what brought the Magi back? In Matthew 2:4, it says, "And when he had gathered all the chief and priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people in Israel.'" Here we see Herod reacted to the search of the Magi. He called the chief and the priests and the scribes for advice. They quoted the scripture to the Magi. And clearly the Magi immediately obeyed. We see this in Micah 5:2, as the prophet says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old and from everlasting." They departed from Bethlehem and saw the star, and in returning to the scripture, they saw the light. And I want you to know today, as they begin to seek Jesus Christ, as they begin to seek the babe, the Bible lets us know that Herod says, I want you to come back and report to me. I want you to tell me about this child that you're going to. But the angel of the Lord began to speak to the wise men to let them know, don't go back to the king. Do not go back, but go a different direction. There are times that we may go on our own presumptuous ways. We may do our own thing, but the voice that's within us, the Lord Jesus Christ, begins to speak to us and lets us know that we must go a different direction. I want you to know today, God has His hand over those that truly love Him and those that truly serve Him. They will be taken care of, and I want you to know today there's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God. When God takes place in your life, God has His way to have His way in your life. I want you to know today the enemy may be out to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I want you to know the King is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He is King of Kings. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He fails not. He will supply your needs. He will take care of you. And when the enemy wars against your soul, the Bible says that God holds up a standard and He'll take care of you. He'll ride you out through the storms of your life, and He will begin to bring healing in your heart and life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that King Herod was not a king that loved Jesus. He was not a king that was going to give Him all the great gifts and give Him all the glory and the honor. But he was going to be out to try to distinguish Him, to take Him out, to extinguish everything that he ever wanted to be or hoped to be. He was trying to do everything he could. But guess what? The angel of the Lord brought the protection. The angel of the Lord and God Almighty saw what was going on as the wise men begin to kneel down and worship the Lord. You see, Herod got mad. He got upset. He had sent his men to find the wise men, to seek them out, because he knew that there was something that they were not letting him know. And he felt threatened. He felt fear. Yes, did you say that the King Herod had fear? Yes, he had fear. Fear gripped his heart because he didn't know who that was in the manger. He didn't know that was God Almighty, just as the prophets of old said, He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be the one that will rule this nation. The Bible clearly lets us know. They departed from Bethlehem and they saw the star. They saw the light. Clearly, there are times in our lives that we feel like I've got to go back to the old way because I just can't seem to move forward. There are things in your life that you may say, well, Pastor, I'm going one step forward and three steps back. And a lot of times we get on the right track and we're trying to serve the Lord or we're trying to do the right thing, and it just seems like we're getting hit on every side. And it seems like it's just trouble and perplexed and all of this. But the Apostle Paul lets us know you may have trouble on every side. You may be perplexed. You may be going through something. But I want you to know through your struggles, through your trials, through the test of your faith and things that you go through, I want you to know today God is refining you. He's sharpening you. He's bringing you to where you need to be, not where you want to go. And just as the wise men begin to see the star, they didn't know what they were going to get into. They didn't know what lied ahead. But all they did is they stepped out in faith. They begin to see the star. They begin to see the light. That's what we have to do today, folks. We've got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the light. He's the star. And He is the one that we must focus in on the things that we deal with in life. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But look to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I'm looking to the light of your salvation. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know that there's no argument when we see that the scriptures are being fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of years. Listen, don't ever second guess what God has in store for you. Don't ever second guess that God can't take you through some things and take you. What He brings you in is to bring you out. God says, if I can bring it in and bring it to you and bring it through you, I can come out of you and bring you out of a situation. Yes, He may not have us coming out of every situation, but He's there in the fire. He's there in your circumstance. He's there in your situation when you can look to Him and you can't look to nobody else. Maybe you've talked to mom and dad, brother and sister, but you can take it to the Lord in prayer. You can take it to Jesus, and guess what? He gives the answer that you need. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know that there was a lot of threats that were going on because the child, Jesus Christ, was coming into this world. And I want you to know today that He still is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like in your life. It doesn't matter what this world is doing in this world. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter what the situation is. God is still God, and He is still going to get glory. He's still going to get honor. The Bible says if we don't call on Him and praise on Him, then guess what? The rocks are going to cry out. Somebody's going to give God praise. Somebody's going to give God glory. And it's for us to start in the house of the Lord to give Him praise, to know that He's a God that will withstand all the circumstance and the situation that's in your life. He will come and He will sustain. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know, upon finding Christ, the Magi, the wise men, they begin to worship Him. They begin to worship Him. You say, well, Pastor, why did they worship Him? Because they had already read and heard from the prophet of old of who He was and what He was to become. You see, they begin to present everything that they had, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, to the king. They realize that this is the king. Herod may be the king of the land. He may be the king of everything that he has around him. But they realize this was the King of Glory. This was the King of all kings. There's no other king that's set before us. They realized that and worshiped Him as they saw this child. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Bible says that Mary was overtaken so much that she just pondered all of this in her heart. Can you imagine? It's like a flash before her eyes. It was like a flash before her eyes. I'm pregnant. I'm 14 years old. I'm pregnant with a child. I've never been with a man. And the child comes forth. There's Joseph. Joseph is saying, oh my goodness, the people, our people will be an outcast on us. I've never been with you, Mary, but there's a child that's being formed. There is a child being born. The Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will come from you. As she pondered all this in her heart. Listen, wise ones still worship Christ. And they give their best to Him. Wise ones today, as we are wise in seeing what God has already done in your life and what God is going to do in your life, we're on the edge of ending out in 2024. We're about to go in to 2025. We haven't made it there yet, but that's our goal. That's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to move into 2025. And I've always said, and we'll say it again, sometimes some will not make it to 2025. If we knew that our life was leaving today, our hearts would probably fail us. But thank God you and I, including your pastor, doesn't know when we're going to leave. We could leave in 2024, or we could just move right on into 2025. But I want you to know today, we must worship the Lord at all times. We must give Him glory. We must give Him honor that's due to Him. We must give everything that we have and put it at the feet of Jesus, to bring it to the foot of the cross and surrender everything and say, Lord, none of this matters in this world. This is nothing but stuff. It's nothing but stuff, because when we leave this life, we've got to leave it right where it's at, because it cannot go with us. But what we must keep in mind, we must worship the Lord. Now, folks, I want to go a step further. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a myth. This is not magical. What I'm telling you today, it literally happened. And what we must understand is that God the Father had a plan for your life. God the Father had a plan for my life. And that's not just to merely exist. That's not just merely to live in this life and to be buried 6 foot under. God has a plan and a destiny for your life. He has created you to reach others and to reach those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may come into a church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night of Bible study, but I want you to know, while you're in here, you are learning the Word of God. You are learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you learn that, you take it with you and you share it with others. You say, well, Pastor, how do I share it with others? Let them know about your testimony. If God has been good to you, if God has been faithful to you, if God has helped you through a circumstance and a situation, let your testimony ring out. Let your testimony be known, just as the wise men begin to tell everyone throughout the East and everywhere they went to know that the Messiah has been born. It is our job to let people know that the Messiah has been born, that Jesus Christ is here to save those which are lost and bring them to an altar of prayer and pray for their families, pray for their loved ones, that none of them would be lost, but they would be saved and they would be able to go to heaven and make heaven their home. Hallelujah. Stand with me across the building today. Hallelujah. Today is a day, hallelujah, that we must understand that time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. We have people that are living like they're going to live forever. We've got people that their minds are not on Jesus. Their minds on everything else but on Jesus. And how that we as a church must keep our families and our friends in prayer, that they not miss heaven, but they make heaven their home, because we know that the enemy, he's not sleeping, but he's lurking. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to do whatever he can to keep us down. But I want you to know, we've got the power. The power lies within us. Because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power. We have what God has given us. And that is for us to put on the whole armor of God. Not just some of it, not part of it, but put on the whole armor of God and begin to fight as a good soldier. And share with those that don't know Jesus. Let them know that God is on His throne and God inhabits the praises of His people. I thank God today because, listen, every one of us, we have talents and we have abilities. And there are things today that you will be able to reach people that I won't be able to reach. Hallelujah. Upward Bound is a gospel group that sings
They go out into the communities. They go out in the highways and hedges and they begin to sing their music. They'll be able to reach people that I'll never be able to reach. But there'll be people that I will be able to reach that they wouldn't be able to reach. That's why it's so important that we all unite ourselves together in the bond of love. That's why we are to unite ourselves and begin to serve and share with others the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen, a gift under the tree doesn't mount to anything. A new car, a new house, a new this doesn't mount to anything. But when you find that you've got Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you've got the ultimate gift that you could ever get in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave unto you that you should not perish but have everlasting life." He gives unto you as a wonderful gift of eternal life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father,